Would anyone like?
I move to adopt.
Thank you, Mrs. Springer. Do I have a second?
This is Michelle.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Further discussion or discussion to the public hearing of ordinance 20-24?
Well, Mr. Mayor, we just get a succinct explanation of this ordinance change. I think the public would certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. I'm going to defer to the acting city manager. Lori, can you kind of give a brief overview of ordinance 20-24, please?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. So this is simply a code cleanup. It has been the policy and procedure of the City of Bethel to initiate any amendments to contracts to the City Council. But with the turnover administration, that piece was kind of lost. So to ensure that there's a process followed in the future, we wanted to make sure that we codified that one step for the procedures.
Thank you, Mr. Mrs. Strickler. Mm-hmm. Further discussion? Hearing none, since this is a ordinance, I'll ask the Deputy City Clerk, Mr. Morgan, to do a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Councilmember Diamant.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen. Mayor Barr.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Morgan. Motion to adopt is unanimous. Moving on to item number 10, which is new business. Item 10.1, this was removed from the consent agenda, introduction of ordinance 2025, creating an excise tax on the distribution of sugar sweetened beverage products.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I think we moved 10.8 to the front here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you for that clarification. So 10.8 has been moved to the top of the list, and that is the item action memorandum 20-40, approving a change in the CARES Act budget and spending plan and memorandum of agreement with the Bethel Community Services Foundation for an additional funding amount of $500,000. This was put forward by Vice Mayor Hansen.
And
so I would, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, Mayor Barr. I just want to announce that I have a conflict on this and I am recusing myself from this item. And that is because BCSF is my employer.
Yes, ma'am. So noted. And yes, there is a, I will recognize that there is a conflict of interest. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. So I would entertain a main motion to approve action memorandum 20-40, item 10.8.
So moved.
One at a time, please.
Alyssa was first.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Leary. And a second, I believe, was Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Discussion. As the maker of the motion, Ms. Leary, would you like to go first?
I guess I would just say I'm fully in favor of this. Budget modification. Thank you, Eileen Arnold, for being there in person to testify to this. As well as Louise. I think you guys gave really good description of how the money has been spent so far. I, for one, work with individuals every day who are impacted financially by COVID when I call them and tell them to quarantine. So I know the need is out there. I know it is not going away. I know it is not decreasing. So I am fully in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Ms. Hansen?
Yeah, just so the public understands, and I do appreciate Eileen and Louise coming to speak to it so they have a good idea already. But it's just to approve a change in the City of Bethel CARES Act budget and spending plan to move $500,000 from the contingency / unforeseen expenses to react to future needs line item in our budget over to Bethel Community Services Foundation charities to better serve nonprofits in town. Because, you know, we just recently found out that a lot of that money is being given out and used, you know, as a result of COVID and the effect it's having on families in the community. And so just wanted to make sure that they had enough money moving forward as we move into the winter and as cases begin to spike, and that that they feel both BCSF and nonprofits that are benefiting from it feel that they are properly prepared to help families in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question.
Mr. Diamond, please.
Yeah. So I've got a question either for Haley or if Eileen or Louise, anyone who can answer that question, which is on the surface, what it does is it moves the money where we had approximately one and a half million in contingencies and unforeseen expenses, which of course still might happen, and it moves that money to the Bethel Community Services Foundation charities. We've heard kind of people. What I'm wondering is, will that money be available not just to nonprofits, but will it be available to the grants, what we have is called grants to assist individuals and families. And so that's what we heard the two speakers from BCSF speak to. And I would be very much in favor of that. But I'm not sure that it does that. And so I wanted, and because we've also heard it going towards nonprofits. So maybe the grants to assist individuals and families falls under nonprofits, but I just want to make sure that's clear. I want to know if that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. I think that I would entertain a motion to suspend the rules so that we can hear from Ms. Arnold.
So moved.
Seconded.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. All those in favor of such indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Ms. Arnold, please.
I can't speak to I can certainly say to very simply answer Councilman Diamond's question is that yes, what we are asking for is specifically more money to go to individuals. There is my understanding of the CARES money that went through BCSF, and I mean, don't quote me on this, but there's money to help businesses, there's money to help nonprofits, and then there is this third sum of money for helping individuals. It has gone to TWC because we already have a program that distributes assistance for utilities and rent. We've had that program for years. So because we have more staff and staff who could do that, that is why this contract went to us, so we can distribute the money directly to people. And what we're here asking for is for more money specifically for individuals to get assistance because of furlough, because of quarantine, because of layoffs. I can't speak to anything else that might be going on with nonprofits or whatever, but we specifically asked BCSF for another $500,000 so that that could take us to the end of December.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Diamond, does that answer your question?
No, it does. And that's, and so, you know, you may have heard council members referring to it possibly going towards the nonprofit line, and they're worthy of it too, but so is small business. But I'm most interested right now in individuals and families who have been affected, getting this money out into the hands of people who have been individuals who have been affected by this. So that answers my main question. I do have another point though to make as well, Mayor, if you could allow that.
Yes, Mr. Diamond. I think Ms. Arnold would like to add to her answer for just a bit.
Yeah, and I'm not great on the details, but I actually think maybe the amount that we asked for was an additional $400,000. So again, I know Ms. DeWitt has recused herself from this conversation, but there might be additional money for nonprofits. I'm not aware of that. I think I did hear that maybe what the nonprofits were asking for in that separate application process was already more than what they had. So there might, in that $500,000 requested, there might be maybe $100,000 for additional for nonprofits, but we did specifically ask for $400,000 for additional for these individual grants.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Diamond, was that your next question going to be for Ms. Arnold?
Yeah, similar. What this does is moves $550,000, and I'm just absolutely, you do great work, and so I'm just going to trust that $400,000 is going to individuals and families and grants for them. And it sounds like there may be $150,000 going to nonprofits, to the nonprofit grant process. It sounds like that. I hope someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But then that brings up this other point, which is we have small businesses in this community, and we have mom and pop operations. People who have borrowed money to fix up their bed and breakfast or to make a bed and breakfast, hair salons and stylists, you know what I'm talking about. And the majority of the country works for small businesses. That may not be true in Bethel, but a lot of people do. It's not everyone is assured a job at LKHC and LKSD in the state like I am. So at some point, I wish we had someone else who could speak to this, or maybe someone can, but I'm wondering if there is a need to disperse more money, to open up the grant process again to small businesses.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Hansen.
Yeah, can I ask that Lori provide some information on this? She has a report. I know that over 80% is going to go to the individuals program. A small amount will be used for nonprofit relief. But Lori might be able to shed some light on this as well and maybe answer some of the questions Mr. Diamond has.
Sure, yeah, thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. So the original request for Tundra Women's Coalition was $400,000, and there's an additional need for the small business grant program of $55,125,000. So there were 45 businesses that were eligible to receive checks out of the small business grant program, funded through the city through Bethel Community Services Foundation. And then there were 16 eligible businesses, that have some conditions applied to their application process and need to have some things cured before their checks can be issued. But in total, the amount that was planned to be released to the small businesses that applied for that grant exceeded the amount originally funded by $55,125. So portions of this $500,000 will be to supplement the original funding for the small business grant program. And the remainder amount, City Manager Carraza had wanted to provide more funding to the individual assistance program that worked through the Tundra Women's Coalition. So that might be an explanation as to why there are differences in numbers here. But I would definitely agree with what Councilmember Diamond said with the need for more money being provided to the small business grant program. I know Councilmember Springer also sat on that review board. And I think, you know, we received quite a few applications in our review there, and I am certain that as we continue through the winter, there will be many more businesses that are needing some more assistance in our funding support. So
Thank you, Ms.
That answers your question anyway.
It does. Thank you. And I see, I saw it in a report from the city manager. I think we had written checks for $593,000 for small businesses. So I don't want to, I have no concerns about right now that I know how much is going to individuals and families, right? But I've got no concerns about this, and I don't want to hold up this action. But I would want council to be aware now and in the future that there may as well be a just as much a need with small businesses in the community. So I'm done. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Further discussion? Hearing none, we have a main motion to approve action memorandum item 10.8, 20-40, approving a change in the CARES Act budget funding and spending plan and memorandum of agreement with the Bethel Community Services Foundation for an additional funding amount of $500,000. So all those in favor of the action memorandum indicate by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thanks, everybody. And we're moving back on over to item 10.1, which was removed from the consent agenda, which is the introduction of ordinance 20-25, creating an excise tax on the distribution of sugar sweetened beverage products. This was brought forth by Council Member DeWitt. And I would entertain a motion to introduce ordinance 20-25.
Mayor Barr, this is Michelle. I'll move.
Thank you, Michelle. And do I have a second?
I second that.
Was that Ms. Franco? I'm sorry, can you tell me who you are as the second? Who seconded the motion?
Cece?
Cece, thank you, Cece.
Yeah, this is Alyssa, but I know that was Cece's voice.
Oh, okay, thank you. It was very sudden, short, and it broke up a little bit, so we weren't able to determine who that was. So thank you, CC. Discussion.
Just to inform you, a little chat came up on this, and it was CC saying she's having audio issues. I don't know if you guys saw that.
We haven't. I haven't seen it. Thank you, Mr. Diamond, for that.
Can see it now.
Right here in the center. Oh, okay. Probably had my head down and wasn't looking. Yeah. But it is my understanding that CC did second the motion. CC, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yeah, that is a lot better. Did you second the motion?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. And discussion. As the maker of the motion, Ms. DeWitt, you have first debate.
Sure. So as I discussed under the Parks, Rec and Aquatic Health and Safety Committee report, the resolution supporting the sugar sweetened beverage tax and several discussions around this proposal have happened within that committee. So tonight is the first look that council has to review this, to discuss this particular ordinance. It is an excise tax. It's not a sales tax. It's an excise tax. And the Parks, Rec, and Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee, which I'll just call Parks and Rec Committee, recommends this strategy to help with four subject areas related to recreation in our community. As we all know, recreation over the past 15 to 20 years, with the notable exception of the fitness center, has been scaled back, positions cut, transferred to public works, etc. So here are the four interest areas we have for dedicating the tax revenue that would be generated from this. The first is sustainability of the YK Fitness Center. Several months ago, the Parks Committee underwent a deep dive with the Finance Committee on the finances of the YK Fitness Center, which is often the subject of misinformation out in the public. So the bad news is there is an annual deficit in how much it costs to operate the fitness center per year compared with that year's annual sales tax collection that is dedicated for that facility at that half a percent rate. The good news is the average shortfall is only about $130,000. And that is not a huge number, but drawing down $130,000 from the dedicated fund for that amount every year from the principal is not sustainable. And I think when we last looked at it a few months ago, we figured we'd have something like 7 or 8 years of being able to draw down like that before we'd run out of our reserve. The irony is that had a previous council left our sales tax rate at 1% for that fitness center, which was initially what the community voted on and started with, the facility would be in a sustainable position today. But it went to the half percent, and that's where we're at. And now we have a relatively minor shortfall on the average, but it is a shortfall, and we need to resolve it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we want to examine strategic planning, design, and construction of a community gym at that facility. Many people in this community want a gym. And the only way that many of us see with the committee that we will get a gym is if, much like we did with the fitness center, the community is also investing into feasibility and design, et cetera. So the Parks and Rec Committee has had seeking funds for feasibility on a community gym on our agenda for more than a year. It hasn't been done. The funds haven't been secured. But if we want a gym, it's time that we start generating some resources to do this work. The third and fourth areas where we would like to put funding from any such tax revenue would go towards boardwalks and trails development and recreation opportunities, whether through a contract with a provider who could deliver a scope of services, also something regularly discussed at Parks and Rec meetings, and you can find that in historical documents at the city website, or through the reemergence of that department, which was disbanded a number of years ago, the Parks and Rec Department, within the city. Now, there are potential health benefits to a sugar sweetened beverage tax, and I would hope that we would see those positive outcomes. But the main goal of this effort would be to use some specific products that have adverse health impacts to fund and improve indoor and outdoor recreation, areas that seek positive health impact. So I get it, a tax is not ideal, but this is an excise tax, and I'm going to read about that in a minute, that is specific to one category of purchases, which is sugar-sweetened beverages. A relatively narrow in focus, and something that people could more easily avoid if they don't want to purchase those items as opposed to a blanket sales tax, which is very difficult to simply not choose to make purchases or pay. And I will also say that if this revenue slowly diminishes as people make healthier or different choices around soda or energy drinks, then great. By that time, it would be my hope that our interest generating dedicated fund for the fitness center will be up to the task of operational gaps, and that we've been by then fortunate enough to steady plan and construct a gym, and that the operations would sustain it. In the meantime, I hope we get great trails. I hope we get great boardwalks and some really great recreation work done in the community. If the council is interested in moving this forward to a public hearing, it is our intent to consult the city's contractor, Carmen Jackson CPA, to help us understand the right mechanisms for making sure the funds are properly allocated to the topics that I discussed. Now, the last thing I want to say is I want to read from this draft ordinance, and that this is not a sales and use tax. This is an excise tax. The tax imposed by this chapter is a tax upon the privilege of conducting business, specifically distributing sugar-sweetened beverage products within the city. It is not a sales or use tax on the sale, consumption, or use of sugar sweetened beverage products. That's what I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And as the second to the motion, Cece, you have, you're up if you would like.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Barr. So I seconded this motion because I really am in support and of the goals that this motion is setting forth as far as improving options for outdoor and indoor healthy activities in our community. I think something that we could greatly improve in this time of COVID, when it's much safer to be outside. Sometimes I see a lack of trails where there could be so many more. And I know there's been a lot of requests for parks and whatnot in different subdivisions throughout the community, seeing as they're not all equally distributed. I'm interested in seeing this move forward, but some questions I have, and I wonder if how set we are on this excise tax for sugar sweet beverages, seeing as I do believe those in lower socioeconomic status, especially some of the areas in our community that doesn't have palatable water, like housing, you know, time and time again, we know that the water is potable, but it's not palatable. And some studies show that that does increase the desire for other beverages besides water.
Tuning into the councilman at your request.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
If you're participating by Zoom or on the phone, please make sure your phones are muted. Again, if you're participating by Zoom, please make sure your phones are muted. We're getting some background noise. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori. Anyway, to keep it short, I'm interested in seeing where this could move forward. I wonder if there's options besides an excise tax on sugar-sweetened beverages, if we could somehow move funds over from our alcohol sales tax. I don't know the legality on that. But I definitely am in support of the different goals set forth and finding different revenue sources to improve our community. And although I do think it would be great if we could cut back on sugary beverages consumption in our community, it might be an unequitable, this tax would likely be unequitable. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Further discussion from the council?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
Yeah, thanks. I usually will vote to introduce an ordinance, whether I like it or not. I'll vote to introduce this one, but the idea has come up in front of the council before. It's, as far as ever, seems pretty unpopular in a lot of circles. And you know, when the tobacco excise tax was brought to us, it was brought strictly as a health issue, not as a revenue generator. I have to agree with people that spoke, people will be heard. This does hit people in their pocketbooks, or will, and they are, you know, some people who can least afford it. Yeah, pop isn't good for you, no question. I mean, last time I went to the doctor, they said, oh, your A1C now pegs you as diabetic. So I'm not going to be drinking any pop for a while. Nevertheless, we have to, you know, consider the fact that, you know, the term sugary drinks could mean a heck of a lot of things. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean chocolate milk, it doesn't mean... Does it mean Red Bull? You know, what exactly, you know, are we talking, is it Tang? I heard Tang mentioned tonight. So I'm certainly willing to vote to have this introduced so that we can get a a good, fair public hearing on it. But again, I have got a lot of concerns that I'll bring up when it comes up for debate for adoption. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've got some.
Mr. Dineman.
So I agree with Mark as well too. I usually don't want whether I agree or disagree with something. If I disagree with something, I don't know if I've ever voted to kill it just on introduction, because I want the public to have as much time as possible to think about it and speak to us and someone to change my mind. And I'm willing to change my mind. And so that's what, but I pulled this off by, but I definitely don't agree with big ticket, big items like this, which hit people in the pocketbook, being on the consent agenda. So that's why I pulled it off. And we've heard some really good discussion about this. It's clear to me, as someone who's lived here for 30 years and someone who really cares about this town and has raised all his children here and will be buried here, we need better parks and we need better boardwalks, and we should support the fitness center, which is used by countless young people. And I'm really also really pleased, this is an aside, about how it's only running basically $130,000 deficit. That's nothing compared. I mean, pools always lose money. Cities have pools, and the same reason they have roads and sidewalks is for the common good. I never expected that to make money, but I'm glad it's not losing as much as what some people believe. But on the other hand, people who are opposed to this, I think, have great arguments. And one is that although we're calling it an excise tax, and it is an excise tax, it's a tax on the importer of the sugary beverages. In the end, that's immediately passed to the consumer. And that's exactly what happened with our tobacco tax. When the tobacco tax was introduced, lots of public health people came down citing studies saying it was introduced as a way of not generating money, but as a way of reducing the use of smoking and chewing tobacco by teens. So it got passed. The cost immediately went to the consumer, immediately the next week after it passed. And again, like other people mentioned, tobacco use sort of correlated with sugary beverage use, that the use of that product is higher than average among lower income people. Now, I've used tobacco for many, many years, and I bore that cost, and I'm not lower income right now. But in the end, it's lower income people who are paying out or users of the product. And that's what this does. CDC issued a report recently, again, showing, well, what are the demographics of higher than average sugary beverage use? Certain minority groups and low income Americans, no matter what their ethnicity, are using sugary beverages at a higher rate. And if that's true for the country, it may be true for Bethel. It seems like it would be. So what we're doing here is asking a small set of people to bear the cost of a common good, which is the pool and parks and boardwalks and all good things. Those are important things. We're asking a certain group of people to bear that cost, and that doesn't seem right to me. The next comment I want to make is, one, two, I don't know if it's necessary. And I say that because, as former Mayor Rick Robbs said, we do have money in the bank. And we have been consistently coming under projections in terms of expenses. And two, and three, most importantly, this council, including myself, voted to expand our sales tax by allowing remote sellers to collect tax. And it was projected that was going to bring in a sizable amount of money. Now, we don't know how much money that is yet, because it's going to go, because currently I think it's only Amazon, which is collecting and giving some of it and collecting some of that, what could be collected from, and remitting it to the city, but it's going to expand to all remote sellers, as you know, September 1st. And we don't know how much that's going to bring in. It may be a large amount of money, in which case we can use, if it is a significant amount of money, we can use some of that money to help Parks and Rec goals that we have, that the community has. So eventually I'll make a motion that we table this until December, so that we, because by that time we're going to have an idea, at least for this fiscal year, how much money that remote seller tax is bringing into the community. If it's enough, we can use some of that money, and then that broadens the burden. It's not just the soda drinker who has to pay it. We're all going to be paying it, right? So that's where I'm at right now. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Leary, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to, real quick, on page 32, there was a few questions tonight already about, like, what does sugar-sweetened beverage mean? There is a definition section in this ordinance. I just wanted to read that real quick. It's pretty short. Sugar-sweetened beverage includes all drinks and beverages commonly referred to as soda, pop, cola, soft drinks, sports drinks, energy drinks, sweetened iced teas, sweetened coffees, or any other common names that are, derivations thereof. And then there's a whole list of things that do not, that sugar-sweetened beverage, the definition of sugar-sweetened beverage does not include. So I would just, anyone with concerns, I would recommend that you, you know, give a glance over the ordinance and the verbiage in there. And I will say, I'm going to approve this tonight. I'm going to vote for this tonight. Definitely. I want to hear more from the public about this. I appreciate the folks that came out tonight. I appreciate, our former mayor coming and speaking against this, even though, on the surface, I'm in favor of it. But I also appreciate the, folks pointing out the undue burden that this will put on lower income families. I understand exactly what Councilor Franco said about how when folks have water, tap water, piped water to their house, that's not palatable, that they tend to not, I know that's a fact, that they tend to not want to drink that and they seek other types of beverages. I guess I just really look for the public to provide input on this. And I understand that things like this have been tried, have been attempted to get passed through council in previous years. I appreciate Councilor DeWitt's work she put into this already, and the public or the Parks and Rec committee supporting such a such an ordinance. I'm just not 100% sold on it yet that it is a good fit for Bethel right now, given the pandemic, given as huge as Councilor Dement was just speaking about how we just implemented the room, or we will as of September, the remote sellers tax. I guess I'm not sold on it yet, but I would like to hear more from what the public thinks. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Further debate, discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Dement, please.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion. You guys can, I haven't done this kind in quite a while. I'd like to make a motion that we table this until a date certain, which is the first meeting we have in December. So it doesn't kill it, but it gives, I'll defend that motion later if there's a second.
So there's a motion on the floor. Ms. Flory, do you have that specific date?
I do. So it would be a motion to postpone until December 8th of 2020.
So, thank you, Ms. Strickler. There's a motion on the floor to postpone until December 8th of 2020 by Mr. Dement. Do I have a second?
This is Councilor Leary. I will second for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. As the maker of the motion, Mr. Dement, please.
So I made that motion for a couple of reasons. And one, it addresses some of what Councilmember Leary said and what I've said and other people have said, in that this, by postponing this to December, which is only 3 months away, but here's why that's important. it gives the public a chance to communicate with the council, and there'll be a new council come October, a chance to communicate with the council about what they think about this. Two, it gives the business community a chance to weigh in, and that's going to be important too. If you look at the rules and regulations that are associated with the tobacco excise tax, it's really, really burdensome on small businesses. And I'm not opposed to it, though. I still think it's good we have it, although the reason it passed, none of those things bore out. But most importantly is this will let the council know, do we need to impose this tax on people right now? Because that by then we're going to know, we'll have September, October, November, we'll have 3 months of numbers with the remote seller's tax to get an estimate of what that's bringing in for the community. If we vote to put this on, to move this forward, and it's on, and we meet in 2 weeks, we're not going to have any more information, and we're not really going to have enough time for the public to weigh in on this. And we all know, if anyone has been on council pre-COVID, you know that we're not getting the kind of participation we normally do. Normally that gallery's packed. If you're talking about a tax issue or a tobacco issue or anything like that, it's packed and you're going to hear people. And we're not hearing from people in that same way. And that's because of COVID. Not everyone has computers where they can log in and do Zoom meetings. In fact, most people probably don't. Most people don't. Most people do not. So I don't think there's any harm in postponing this till October. Until December. It doesn't go away, but it gives council a chance to really think about it, and it gives the public a chance to think about it. And we'll have facts in our hand, how much extra money is coming in because of the remote seller tax. So that's it. That's my defense of my motion.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. As a second to the motion, Ms. Leary, would you like to add anything?
I think my dogs were fighting. I think I said my piece on this already.
Ms. Leary, I didn't really understand. I don't think anybody really understand what you said. Could you repeat that, please?
I was trying to, my dogs were being loud. I think I already said my piece on this is what I said. He just basically said a lot of the same things that I had said in my previous.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Anyone else? The discussion to postpone until December 8th of 2020 to table the introduction of the ordinance. Hearing none, all those in favor of tabling the ordinance 2025 until December the 8th of 2020, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
And did not recognize that voice.
DeWitt.
Thank you, Michelle. So the motion carries to postpone the introduction of Ordinance 2025 until December 8th of 2020. Do we, Lori, do we still continue with the, no, we don't. We're done with item 10.1, correct? Thank you. And we're moving on to 10.2, which is the introduction of Ordinance 2012-B, as in Bravo, attending or amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2021 budget heat trace loop relief. And that was brought forth by City Manager Carraza. That was pulled from the consent agenda. And I would entertain a main motion to introduce budget ordinance 20-12-B, as in Bravo.
This is Councillor Leary. So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do I have a second?
This is Council Member Franco. I second for discussion.
Thanks, Ms. Franco. Discussion, calling for discussion. Ms. Leary, as the maker of the original motion, you have first debate.
Thank you. I just wanted to hear more about this, and I figured the public might be interested as well. I wonder if I know his name's at the top here. I know Mr. Carraza is not there tonight. I was wondering, I guess I didn't hear Bill Arnold on the line earlier. I don't know. I was wondering if there was anybody that could from the city that could speak on this a little bit. Maybe Mr. Clare?
Yeah, I can provide a brief overview, and if there are specific questions, I might turn that over to Bill Arnold, who is on the line, yes. But this budget modification is to address a long-standing situation with some residents over on the avenues who have pipe services for part of their utility and hauled services for the other. So they have a heat line and electrical access that they were individually paying for a number of years, which when the winter months hit became very expensive when they had to heat that line themselves, whereas in other portions of the pipe services and distribution in the community, that payment is provided by the city through other forms of heat. So after many years of vocal concern from some of these residents, the city went in and, as the whereas statement there provides, did an assessment and reformatted the electrical systems in that area so that they are now on a city system and will be providing reimbursement to those residents for the outstanding payments to the use of that electricity on their utility. And then I'll go ahead and open if the council wouldn't mind doing a motion to suspend the rules. I'm sure Bill Arnold might have some more details to provide in addition to that.
Sure. Thank you, Lori. Yeah, I guess I'll move to suspend the rules to hear from Public Works Director Bill Arnold.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Ms. Leary, and seconded by Ms. Hansen. All those in favor of suspending the rules to hear from Bill Arnold, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Thank you. Mr. Arnold, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. If you can maybe provide for a little more explanation as to what the budget ordinance 20-12 is.
Okay, so a little bit of history. Back when City Sub was first built, that's when the avenues area that is in question right now was put online. So City Sub was put online, from my understanding, I wasn't around at the time. They did electric heat trace, the first phase of that project. And during that first winter months, the customers, they had $700, $800, $900 electric bills. So the city went back in, and the contractor, they went back in, put in a glycol heat loop, which is supplied by the City Sub water plant. So we're paying for their heat trace. But over on the avenues, they had electric heat trace, and now they have to pay for that heat. And I agree with this. Totally. I mean, they shouldn't have to pay for that because, I mean, we fixed the problem in City Sub, but we didn't fix the problem in on the avenues. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you, Bill.
That satisfied my questions. Or I guess I didn't really ask any specific questions, but thank you. That was exactly what I was looking for. I'm very happy to see this come forward. I just wanted it to be out in the public instead of just being on the consent agenda. I know the council and the public had heard from these residents several times over the years. And so I'm very, very pleased to see something come forward to help these folks out. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, this is Michelle. May I add something?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Public Works for getting this done. This has been 14 to 15 years, I think, that the this particular small kind of cul-de-sac over on 7th, if you will, has been dealing with this. But I also wanted to say that while this addresses the budget going forward, this does not provide the look back for those residents. And I will have a AM coming forward soon. I was hoping for this meeting, but maybe for September, that addresses the years of high bills that the residents in that neighborhood have paid and proposes some restitution for that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. One of the things that I'd like to point out in this ordinance 20-12 is it's a appropriation of $23,400, and that is for the 5 owner occupants, 6 months of the year use of heat tape times 6 years for the foreseeable 6 years, their heat trace will be paid for. So I don't know if that would sway anybody in the sense of they will have their heat trace paid for the next 6 years. But I'm also wondering why only 6 years? If are we going to plan a fix by then? Why does it sunset after 6 years? I guess maybe that's a question for Ms. Strickler or Mr. Arnold, in the sense of where did we come up with 6 years?
I'm going to defer this to Bill Arnold, because it was my understanding that this was for past payment on the utility costs associated by the residents, and that we had already transferred the electrical units associated with these utility lines to the city. So again, yeah, I'm gonna have Bill take that question, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Arnold?
Yeah, all right. So my understanding of this ordinance is to pay the past 6 years. That's my understanding of this ordinance. There was a budget mod done in last year's budget to fix this problem, and it will be fixed before the winter months hit. You know, coordinating with COVID and our contractors outside of the city limits, you know, trying to get all that coordinated, but it will be fixed before the winter months hit. And, you know, they have 2 meter bases over there. 1 meter base controls their lift station, heat tape, and all that. So we're going to take the heat tape portion of it off of the meter base. And that's all the city is going to be paying for. And I guess it was an ordinance that was written back in during the budget mod. So that's where we're at with it right now.
So does this ordinance 20-12 need to be amended to reflect that this is for prior bills of the occupants of the their bills for the last 6 years?
That was my understanding of the ordinance, and it should be for the residents that live there now and the time they've been at that residence. That's my suggestion, not for the past 6 years, because some of the residents haven't lived there for 6 years. And I think Michelle just mentioned that there's going to be an AM coming to amend some of this, if I heard her correctly.
Okay, we have a whereas, and I'm just going to read it out loud, where it says, this budget modification ordinance will allow the city to provide financial relief for the 5 owner occupants of residences on 7th Avenue dating 6 years. So it's very unclear as to whether or not it's for the previous 6 years or for the foregoing 6 years.
Yeah, and sorry, Bill.
Go ahead, Michelle.
No. Well, I was just going to say I know we've been working on this for a bit, and I knew it got resolved, and I read the first part of this, and I thought that this was different from the thing that we've been working on, that this was about the changes going forward. So my apologies. I didn't. If this is the look back, I missed that. I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. So, Ms. Strickler, does that mean that we can amend this ordinance at this particular time to reflect such?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think actually looking at the whereas statements now, it is confusing, and I would recommend a change either in the third or fourth whereas statement. One residence on 7th Avenue dating back 6 years from this date.
I have a motion I could make that I think that would fix it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Please do.
So in the third, whereas this budget modification, et cetera, for the 5 owner occupants of residence on 7th Avenue for up to the prior 6 years.
Okay, I understand that, but Bill made a comment about the owner occupants may be different currently from 6 years ago.
Well, that's why I said for up to, because it remains to be seen. Someone maybe moved in 3 years ago, so we'll work with them for 3 years. Someone else was there for six. So that's why I said, and I clarified that it's in the past because we have a fix going forward. So for up to the previous 6 years, leaves it open.
Sounds like a wonderful proposal, Mr. Diamond, as Ms. Strickler is nodding her head. So if you could state that one more time for Ms. Strickler.
Sure. So I'll read the whole whereas. So it's the third whereas. The budget modification ordinance will allow the city to provide financial relief for the 5 owner occupants of residence on 7th Avenue for up to the previous 6 years.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And Mr. Morgan, did you get that?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. It'll be striking out dating and adding the language for up to the previous.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Morgan. So there's a motion on the floor to amend Ordinance 20-12 by Mr. Diamond. Do I have a second?
Second, this is Councillor Leary.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. We have a second discussion.
So this is Michelle. I want to thank folks for making that distinction, and I apologize for not immediately recognizing something that I had worked on pretty closely with Charlie over at Public Works.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And I guess one of the questions that I have going forward, we've already had the meter box that the 5 owner occupants were paying for. We now receive that bill, and the city is paying for it. They're not paying for their heat trace anymore going forward.
So this is Bill again. At this point, the heat trace is not turned on. We have our electrical contractor, which is under contract with the city. He will be coming out and transferring just the heat tape portion of it over to a city meter base. Because that meter base actually runs the whole entire lift station, which includes the lift station pump, which includes the controls, float switches, and heat tape. The city's going to pull the heat tape out of that panel and put it into one panel that the city's going to pay for that cul-de-sac, I'll call it for now. And that's how it's going to work. And they will still have a separate meter base to run their lift station, because the residents on city subside, they pay for that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's understood there, Mr. Arnold. Thank you for that clarification. Further discussion? Whoops. Further discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of the ordinance 20-12, since this is an ordinance, we'll need to do a roll call, but all those in favor of such, and Mr. Morgan, roll call, please.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I think we have to vote on the amendment first.
I apologize, you're absolutely right. So, voting on the amendment, which was the third whereas.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to interrupt you just really quickly. The Assistant Finance Director is texting me saying that he is concerned with the language that it was presented. So I apologize to confuse things, but I'm hoping maybe the council would be willing to suspend the rules to hear from John Sargent, the Acting Finance Director, to make sure that the intent of this motion captures his communication with City Manager Carrazza.
Yes, ma'am. I would entertain a motion to suspend the rules to hear from the sergeant. Thank you, Mr. Springer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Diamant. All those in favor of such indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed saying nay.
John Sargent, oops.
Yes.
John Sargent, very minor change. All I said was for up to sounds funny to me. For the past 6 years, might be clear. I don't have the ordinance in front of me, so I can't exactly address the whereas. Sorry. That's all. It is for the past, though. I did help write the ordinance change, and it was designed to be for the past 6 years. I will say that.
Okay. Hey, John, we were voting on a motion where we had changed the last of the whereas on number three to, instead of saying dating 6 years, we had introduced language to state for up to the previous 6 years. I think it kind of means the same thing, for the past 6 years, for the previous 6 years.
For the previous, sounds good too. I like it.
Thank you, John. Ms. Strickler?
So the one thing that I want to point out with that language, there's two distinctions. For up to will encompass only the five residents that are listed in the ordinance. If you say for 6 years, it may encompass those that have moved from those residents and capture more than the five residents that are currently listed, which might possibly inflate the budget number slightly. So if it's the intent, and I guess I'm going to ask for John Sargent, who I think was closely in discussions with the city manager when this was developed, was it the intent to capture all the residents that have lived there for the last 6 years, or is it to capture the residents that live there now up to 6 years?
Good question. The intent was 6 years worth of money. 6 years was the calculation. There was an assumption that in the past 6 years, probably those same residents are there. But no, the intention was not to trace down previous residents, just the current residents.
I think in that case, the current motion is okay.
Okay. So the motion to amend the third whereas to include and strike dating 6 years and adding for up to the previous 6 years seems to be appropriate.
Mr.